You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire for Tuesday. Last week, a new study released detailed gaps in mental health services for Rainbow Youth. Researchers at Victoria University of Wellington surveyed more than 950 people aged 14 to 24 in the first study of mental health support experiences among Rainbow Rangatahi in Aotearoa, New Zealand. I spoke to clinical psychologist Gloria Fraser, who co-authored the study, on the matter. Here she is now.
And just for a sound check, can I please get your full name and title, please?
Yeah, my name is Gloria Fraser. I'm a clinical psychologist and researcher in Wellington.
Cool. Awesome. Sweet. So could you just give me a bit of background into the study and some of its findings?
Yeah, sure. So this study was part of my PhD research, which was a broader project about Rainbow people's experiences of accessing mental health support. And it started off with an interview study, and then this came from a follow-up survey where we tried to sort of gain some understanding of the experiences of a wide group of Rainbow people in New Zealand. And we ended up surveying a little over 1,500 people. And this study focuses specifically on the experiences of youth. So we surveyed rangatahi between 14 and 24 about what it was like for them to access mental health support in Aotearoa. And we found some really mixed experiences. So some people found their mental health professionals really helpful, but a lot of them found them mostly unhelpful or extremely unhelpful, and it pointed to a lot of areas for improvement.
Yeah. Now, was there any reason why this was? Why some reported mental health professionals being mostly or extremely helpful, and possible why some weren't?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of why some weren't, people pointed to a real lack of knowledge on the part of mental health professionals, and it seemed like a lot of the unhelpful experiences came from that. So people having to sort of educate their mental health professionals about their identities or about their experiences, and that taking up a lot of time in therapy, or mental health professionals sort of avoiding the topic of sexuality and gender or hyper-focusing on it. So often it seemed like mental health professionals weren't really taking Rainbow clients' lead on how much to talk about their identity. And I guess I understood that as coming more from a place of kind of not knowing how to have these conversations, as opposed to mental health professionals sort of holding discriminatory views, though of course there are still mental health professionals who do hold queerphobic and transphobic views as well.
Yeah, which is quite concerning.
Yeah, very concerning, definitely.
Now, I guess on that note, is this reflective of the training programs, of the profession itself, or...?
Yeah, I think probably a combination. Like, our training programs have a lot to do in a short space of time. And so I think they do their best to incorporate cultural competency training of different kinds, but it tends to be something that isn't, I would say, probably not prioritised in our training programs. Obviously, I can't speak to all of the training programs around the country, but definitely the ones that I have seen, cultural competency has been sort of a bit of a side note or a bit of an afterthought. And then I think we are encouraged as professionals to continue to learn as part of our professional development. But lots of mental health professionals are really under the pump, so it doesn't always leave a lot of time or resources for cultural competency training.
Yeah.
So I think in most cases it probably doesn't point to a lack of will or a lack of interest. I think it can really point to kind of training and resource constraints.
Yeah. Now, I get... Where do we start with that, I guess? And I know that's probably quite a complicated question, quite complex, sorry.
No, I mean, there's always somewhere to start, right? Like, I think I would love to see more of this in our training programs, and I would love to see it rather than being something that's recommended for professionals that are already registered, for it to be essential in the same way that for lots of professions, bicultural competency training is required rather than recommended. But I guess that the good news that came out of the study was that there are a lot of different things that mental health professionals can do that are relatively sort of small actions, but they do signal a lot. So even small things like having sort of rainbow flags and posters and kind of banners around to show that That the service is rainbow friendly is really useful. Professionals sharing the pronouns when they meet someone and checking on someone's pronouns and just opening up conversations about sexuality and gender in a really open way. So not sort of asking really pointed questions that that sort of force people to come out before they're ready or to kind of discuss these things, but just letting people know that they've acknowledged the fact that that their client might not be straight and cis and that this is a space where it's okay to talk about that.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, definitely. Now, also, do you think there needs to... Now, I'm not sure if this is the case, but may there be a lack of LGBTQ counsellors within the field as well?
Yeah, I think there probably is. I don't know if we actually collect the data in New Zealand to say what proportion of mental health professionals are rainbow. But I would love to know, personally. But yeah, I think that definitely there's probably underrepresentation of lots of different marginalised groups within our mental health professionals. And I think that sort of speaks to, I guess, the fact that, you know, to get into a lot of these training programs, you already have to have a lot of privilege behind you to get there. You know, they're expensive, they take a long time. The people kind of selecting for these programs are often in positions of privilege themselves. So I think it might also speak to how do we get better representation into our mental health field too.
That was clinical psychologist Gloria Fraser, who co-authored the study on the matter. A new study that was released detailing gaps in mental health services for rainbow youth. I do apologise. There was a rough cut of that interview. I do apologise for that. If you are struggling with mental health issues, please be sure to get in contact with available helplines. You can talk to your local GP or even talk to a friend or family member. Just remember that you are loved and cared about.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.